Komið þið heil og sæl og verið velkomin í 15. hlaðvarpsins landsmenn. Ég heiti Ríkarður og leiðandi Íslands deildar norrænu mótstöðurhreyfingarinnar. Með mér Guðfinnur sem meðlimur samtakana til að flesti landsmenn norðursins sem og aðrir utan Norrlandana skilji höfuð ákveða viðtalið sig á ensku. Velkomin félagi, velkom, comrade.
Thank you, thank you.
You are the first Icelander on the show. You will be with me in the future episode of Landsmen, is that right?
That is correct.
I will ask you some questions about yourself and how you became a National Socialist and your decision to join the movement. Where are you born and raised?
I was born in a small fishing village in the westest part of Iceland called Bolungarvík. It has the population of about 900 people. It was great childhood, I would say.
When did you wake up and how did you become a National Socialist?
I would say I, like many people, I was born a National Socialist because that is the natural way, but we are also misguided from, you know, the educational system. So I would say I was 25 when I was truly enlightened, when I was living abroad in Finland and I saw the population of racial strangers in the country. It was shocking because, you know, living in Iceland, we are pretty much lucky that we are still mostly white and, you know, ethnic. But when I came to Finland and I saw the racial, the amount of racial strangers just in the train stations and, you know, in public areas and in bars and restaurants, and just, I was just shocked. So I started to look more, you know, into, what should I say, right-wing opinions. And then it led me to, you know, reading Mein Kampf and into true enlightenment.
Yeah, so you read Mein Kampf, you said.
Yes, it is the greatest book ever written. Mm-hmm. It applies to all truths in life.
Yes, this was actually, this book was the cause of my awakening at a time. Did you see or read any other material regarding National Socialism?
I think that this was the first I read truly, you know, National Socialist literature. But I have been looking at lectures by Kai Murros and other, you know, Nordic people that are, that hold these beliefs. Of course, I've read Turner Diaries and, you know, fiction like that. But mostly, you know, I have been looking at lectures and, you know, maybe I should get my hands on more National Socialist literature rather than just looking at videos. I don't know.
Yes, and reading something from the internet, for example, and things like that.
I also got really deep into the like genetics and race differences in, you know, the like IQ and bodybuilding, the mass of, you know, African Americans or African, you know, sub-Saharan African genetics compared to, you know, how Caucasians are built, everything like that. So I find it hilarious when people say there's only one race, the human race, when, you know, it's obvious that it's not.
Were you in any movement before you joined the Nordic Resistance Movement?
No, I was not. I actually regret not joining sooner, you know, because like someone said in not so long ago in an interview, I think he is in the he publishes a magazine, National Socialist. What was it called? Anyway, he said, you know, the Nordic Resistance Movement is truly what, you know, like ideal National Socialist organization. The movement is so organized, it's political, it's activist, and nothing is encouraging, you know, well, taboos like violence and things like that. It's just about our ideology.
Yes.
But also at the same time, you know, I like how there is internal activism, like people go out and they hike and they sleep outside and they strengthen the bond between man and nature and also the bond between themselves. They train martial arts and they practice speaking to each other and they get their families, you know, together. And so it's not just the movement for, you know, getting our ideology out there, but it's also to get the ideology that already, you know, exists within people to together. So
yeah,
it's great.
So why did you choose the Nordic Resistance Movement?
I think I covered that in the previous answer. It is the ideal National Socialist Organization. It has everything from A to B. You know, exactly. It's just perfect.
What is your opinion of the situation in Iceland nowadays?
The situation in Iceland is... Well, I can see one thing I would like to point out to my people, and that is... receiving some Ukrainian refugees, you know, truly, you know, they are fleeing war zone, their women and children. And I can see the hospitality we can give to people of European descent, you know, and I think that is great.
Yes. And
I, for an example, I went to a dance show with both adults and a lot of like kids from Ukraine. They made a dance routine show. And I could see that, you know, there was like 300 or 400 people came to see, you know, pretty much unrehearsed dance routines just to, you know, give support to people that are, you know, not in their best right now. Mm. I think that is great. I can see that the people here are, Icelandic people are good. We are generous and we are tough when we need to be. But at the same time, our leadership is disgusting and we are doing terrible things when we try to accept the same shit over and over again by voting, because, you know, it's like one of my favorite cartoon shows as a kid was South Park, and they said, you know, it's between a douche and a turd, and, you know, we just accept that and nothing new comes ahead. But now we have Nordic Resistance Movement and they are running for elections in Sweden, so I would say, you know, hurrah, Heil Sigri. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, it would be interesting how that would go. Just,
yeah.
I'm just surprised that people haven't woken up yet.
The thing is, like, in Iceland right now, we have food, we have water, we have everything we need.
Mm.
People are like that we are creatures of habit. And when we have things we need, we are good. But almost immediately when we are lacking things that are necessary for life,
mm-hmm.
we awake. And then, like Kai Muro says, you know, he said, once Europeans go to war, we decimate continents. So we can be pushed and pushed and pushed by people that have been betrayed us. They have, you know, gang violence, street thugs that think they can, you know, get us one by one. But truly, when European people gather to war, when we have an enemy we focus on, that enemy will be destroyed. So...
Mm.
When we wake up one last time.
Not too late, not too late.
It is like this. We could have 50 Europeans against 10,000 Somalis, and they would have rocket launches, and we would have pistols, but we would still defeat them.
What is your view of Marxism, for example?
It is a devious, well-orchestrated plan, agenda to defeat people that cannot be defeated by war or defeated by intellectual debates. So it eats the people from inside, corrupts the youth, which is, you know, what we see now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, you know, both feminism and Marxism, you know, these are the same ideas, pretty yes. much. Best tactic against the Marxists is to belittle them and ridicule them, because, you know, they do not accept logic because their logic is flawed. They know it deep down inside. So ridicule, laugh at the shit because it is hilarious. And, you know, they always try to ridicule other people. When you have defeated them with logic, they try to ridicule you.
Yeah.
And that is, you know, what gets many people, that, you know, gets them angry, or people say stupid shit like, you know, expose, you know, let's say racism or whatever, you know, people say, oh, you're a racist, though. So automatically their, you know, argument is invalid because, you know, they have said nigger or whatever, you know. So the best way is just infuse logic with ridicule and they have a hard time answering it. Marxism is cancer for European society.
Yeah, and multiculturalism, that could be a source of Marxism in a way, isn't it?
It is definitely a Marxist tool. Mm-hmm. Because like I said, you know, we cannot be defeated by war or logical debates. So they eat us from inside and they implant racial strangers so that they can have, you know, more wielding power when they oppose us.
Yes. And isn't it just this multiculturalism, as what do you think of it? Is it white genocide?
Yeah, definitely. You know, you can see our birth rates are going down, but still, you know, I was looking at the data, this worldwide data, not a few weeks ago, and actually all countries are going down. Almost all countries are going down. But there's one thing I was so really positive. And even though they have mass flooded our countries with racial strangers, most people are still breeding within their own race.
Mm-hmm.
So even though they have, you know, exposed us to thousands of other opportunities to, you know, let's say, breed and get married and have children with, and they also bombard us with advertisement with only Africans, or, you know, you've seen the shit on television, and, you know, people, you know, acting in advertisement for Nike or whatever. And what we see in the streets in the Nordic countries is on the bus stops, it's always a racial stranger. Even though that's happening, still we are breeding with our own race. Yes. So that's obviously, you know, because it is in our blood to be with our own people. And it will take a long time for them to achieve what they want to achieve with breeding us out, because it's not working out.
Exactly.
Yeah. I think that they did not count on that. I actually think that they thought, the enemy thought that this would work better. So I think they're disappointed now. Aha. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I also want to point out that Iceland, for example, signed a deal in Marrakesh regarding the steadily flow of migrants, illegal aliens, yes, into the country, and telling or lying to the people that they made a side deal, that they just didn't write only on this contract, but we know that's, you know, where is this side deal anyway? But then you have the steady flow of illegal aliens coming to Iceland with no certain plan of how it's going to be, when it's going to stop, how long it's going to take, what it cost for taxpayers in Iceland. And you're starting to see it here now in Iceland. They are starting to amplify the multiculturalism much more than they used to do some years ago.
Yes, I have noticed this.
Yeah, also. And now some political parties, like the centralists, are trying to use that for their gain to get support from voters, you know. And of course, it cost the society. And, you know, we have inflations and stuff like that. And this is just part of it.
Yep.
Part of the game.
I also want to point out that during COVID, once, you know, Icelanders were not allowed to travel outside the country, They were bringing in planes filled with migrants that did not even have to undergo COVID tests, the PCR tests, which, yeah, you know, were mandatory for us to, you know, take if we wanted to work. And that shows the loyalty the government has for our people.
Yeah, which is nothing.
Yep.
None at all. Of course, there are some people trying to work through the system in this mud pool and fighting against the elites and the ties that globalists have to Iceland, I guess.
Yeah, but the thing is that there is no political party in parliament now that is willing to do it. The only solution is Nordic resistance movement.
Yes. They're just dinosaurs. Sorry to say that Icelandic voters, the political parties here are dinosaurs.
Yes.
So your view on political correctness?
It's a form of Marxism. It's cancer. It must be eradicated.
Mm-hmm. It's like it's something like the how the church had it in the medieval times until the beginning of 20th century. Where you could have sinful thoughts, they still have it, I guess. But now Marxist ideology uses this political correctness, you know, that you have to think some certain way. If you don't, then you are a sinner or you know, hater or whatever they use these
also
words
notice
nowadays.
How you limit the free speech.
Yeah, of course, that's the agenda.
One thing is I want to point out is the greatness of free speech is this, that we have a lot of people expressing and, you know, their views, their ideals.
Mm-hmm.
And if everybody is allowed to do that, we are fishing out the greatest ideas and using them, because humans are masters at problem solving. That's how we have gotten so far. We are, you know, how we build up a society is by problem solving.
Mm-hmm.
Understand? So if we limit free speech, we limit the ideas to get out there, and therefore we limit the ideas we need to problem solve, and therefore we get worse at problem solving. You understand?
Yes.
So we need to have a lot of ideas to problem solve to keep us good at problem solving. That is a problem solve at, you know, problem solving at, you know, the foundation.
Mm-hmm.
If we stop practicing problem solving, we will get worse at society, and we will get worse at being humans. We need to express all the ideas and fish out the good ones for the benefit of our people. So political correctness, which tries to limit free speech, is cancer. It must be eradicated.
Yeah. Globalists, what do you think of them?
The juice works in mysterious ways, I would say. So it is, you know, the enemy is the juice. It is one of their cold names, globalists. But, you know, of course, it's okay, good to be able to call them globalists. But, you know, of course, I just want to say it's the juice. But it's obvious when you follow the money, and you see that there's two or three trust funds that own, you know, all the major corporations, and, you know, they have daughter companies under that, and shell companies, and, you know, so those are the globalists working their agenda. I don't know.
Yes. Global warming, climate change, that's part of the plan as well.
Yeah, it's... just want to say to the people listening that they should Google Grand Solar Minimum and find out that there is no global warming. They should get a big, big warm jacket and nice winter boots for the coming future.
Last winter was a bit severe, was it?
We had a few weeks that was really cold, and of course, the snow has been coming back. You know, we had, let's say, 10, 15 years where the snow was, you know, limited to, you know, small, not just, you know, severe amounts of snow, but the last 4 or 5 winters have been snowy as fuck, man. And also here in the east, where I live now, we have had a lot of really, really cold days. Like, I mean, like minus 18, 19.
Mm-hmm.
So that's unusual for Iceland. You know, even though it's called Iceland, our climate is, you know, usually it's cold if it's minus 5.
Mm-hmm.
But now it has been a lot colder than usual.
Yeah. So we will stop a little bit for a music break, and so we will be back right after that. We are back in Landsmenn, and we are having a discussion with Guðfinnur, who is from Iceland. And so what do you think of the whole COVID pandemic like we experienced now?
The COVID pandemic was a good Jewish operation. Isn't as simple as that. Feeling the ground for totalitarian government, which they, you know, all desire so much.
You think they're gonna try this game later on again?
We will see what they will do with the monkeypox. I don't know. I don't want to go into that right now, but I think that they are testing the ground for something similar again. Yeah.
Yeah, you think so?
Yeah.
At least we have the, yeah, what was it? Little more than 2 years of this thing.
Yeah.
But suddenly since the war in Ukraine started, it just vanished.
Yeah, it's interesting how that just happens in just one day.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And you know, what do you call it? It really beats me how they treated Icelanders, and I think that people are, you know, got very tired of this, and this game was, or what do you call it, was getting a bit tiring. I understand if you have something that you don't know what it is, but how the system treated it and how they treated the Icelanders, or at least the whole world.
Just want to say that we live on an island. And if we have a pandemic that is life-threatening to our people as a nation, we will just close the airports, simple. We'll close the harbors, people not coming in, you're not going out, and we have eradicated the pandemic. But nothing of that sort happened, you know. In the Spanish flu in the 1918s, we installed sheriffs in all, from the Ring Road to south and to the north and the east. They had sheriff deputies with guns. They said, you cannot come here, you cannot go out.
Mm-hmm.
And they isolated the east part of the country, and we had no like outbreak of the Spanish flu in the east, because they isolated the area. So what happens if you do that to all of Iceland in the case of a pandemic? Well, of course, people don't get sick, because there's no... It's ridiculous, man.
Mm-hmm.
We were allowing people coming in, going out for 2 years, but still the population was being, you know, tested, the things stuffed into the noses, and limited work. Establishments was closing left and right because they were going bankrupt. But still, airports were open, harbors were open, and only 30 people died, all over 50. Like, what the fuck, man? 30% of the economy was shut down. And let me point out that no nation has ever recovered if that happens.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's obvious that, you know, it was not a real pandemic. There was no reason for this to be done, except testing the field with totalitarian government. It's my opinion. COVID pandemic.
And and now as we speak, there's a war going on in Ukraine, which just followed after the pandemic was over. What do you think about it?
I think it's always sad to see Europeans die on behalf of the Jew. But I also think that the war in Ukraine is just the starting ground for something bigger.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to go too deep into it, but I think that, you know, like for now, the Americans are sending some long-range missiles to the Ukrainian army, which can hit targets in Russian border. So they can now, you know, attack Russia from Ukraine.
Mm.
That's going to change the dynamic of the war. I also think that Finns and Swedes being pushed into NATO is something weird.
Into also NATO?
Because Finns have already defended their country against Russia, and they did so well, you know, they... I also want to point out the Danes, they are in NATO, but now the Danes are being pushed into some European military operations. Why is that?
Mm-hmm.
Why do Finns have to go to NATO? And Danes are in NATO, but also have to make some extra contracts with European military operations.
Yes.
So if you see all the moves being made, I see that we are heading towards a big bang.
Great reset, maybe part of that.
I think that Kai Muro said we will have war, but at the same time the war will begin. A lot of people will realize that we are fighting the wrong enemy, and Europeans will unite towards the true enemy. And once that happens, there will be a pan-European thought pattern change. We will wake up as a whole, and we will obliterate those who have betrayed us once and for all.
Have you been in the Nordic countries?
I've been to all except Faroe Islands, which I wish to go one day. I've been to Denmark, Norway, Sweden, and Finland. I also lived in Finland for 2 years, had a great experience with Finland. I have a Finnish, half Icelandic wife and a daughter. I speak some Finnish. I would say that Finland is my second home.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever take part in any activities outside of Iceland?
No, I did not. But I once, you know, Facebook allowed our views to be expressed. I was in a group and while I was living in Finland, some person made a status that he said, you know, I'm coming from America to be in Finland for a few weeks. Anybody want to meet? And I met a nice gentleman called Philip from Alaska, great person, National Socialist. We spoke. He went to meet Soldiers of Odin, which I did not at the time.
Mm.
And I should have, but no, other than, you know, just networking and viewing my opinions at the local bar, I think I've not done any activity outside Iceland.
What do you think of our progress in Iceland so far?
We've had our ups and downs. I think we are on the right track. We have good members now, you know, adults, family members. We are taking it slow, but sure, slow and steady wins the race. We have good website. We have Landsmen, the podcast. We are doing good things in the media war, going the ball will roll our direction. We will finish last, I'm sure.
Any message to our fellow Icelanders and to the rest of the Nordic countries?
My fellow Icelanders, I want to say Ísland þúsund ár. To the Nordic people, I would say, get your money out, ship them to Andreas in Nordic Frontier for the support of the election in Sweden. Support the Finnish National Socialist Party also with anything you can have, money, Bitcoin, whatever. And I would say, do well, heil Sigri.
Any last words?
No, not yet. I intend to have many words. For now, like I said before, heil Sigri.
Thank you, Guðfinnur. Við þökkum kærlega fyrir okkur og Guðfinni fyrir að vera með okkur og segjum hlustuð á þáttinn. Takk fyrir, heil Sigri.